Hello, and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big, wide world are good. Did we kill it right off the top?
Nailed it!
All right. Well, my name's Matt, and with me are two amazing panelists from No Dunks, Lee Ellis and Jason Doyle. They're in the Classic Factory. Welcome to Is This Good?
Thanks. It's great to be here for the very first show of this. It's a skeleton crew, I will say that, but I think that's fine. I think that's good because I think you're only going to need a couple of answers here, Matt. I'm very excited for this. Good to have you back, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. It's good to be back. It's going to be a rotating cast as the show goes on, so you'll see your favorites, but all your favorites are here right now. Just so I know, JD, off the top, what happened? Just so I know going forward and I can release it from my mind.
What do you mean, what happened?
Oh, okay. I heard like a lot of noise, so I thought that's what you were referring to.
No. Well, maybe. Oh,
so I guess just shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, probably should just let it go. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on then. If you have topics for a future show, send them to me at StartersVet on Twitter or email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. JD, I sprung for the Gmail. Is that in the budget?
No, but you know what? Lee and I will chip in and we'll make it happen. It's fine. It's fine.
To introduce myself very briefly, as you may or may not know, I worked with all the guys on the Basketball Jones and the Starters for 10 years, and we've spent many long days in an office arguing about the dumbest things possible. So we're going to bring you a little bit of a flavor of that on this show. The premise is very simple. I'm going to give you a topic, and all you need to do is tell me if it's good. Are you guys ready?
Ready as I'll ever be, yeah.
Okay,
here we go.
First topic, wearing flip-flops to a non-beach restaurant. Is this good?
Wow, a heater off the top. Should I feel targeted? flip-flops are, honestly, unless I'm driving right now or playing sport, I'm only wearing flip-flops in the Atlanta heat. So I'm feeling immediately this is good, but I think it probably needs a little bit of context though too, because I mean, look, if I when we're in Vegas and we had that beautiful meal together, I mean, that was like a sort of semi-formal occasion. We knew we were going out for a big night. It's Vegas. I mean, I'm wearing flip-flops everywhere else, but I'm not going to wear flip-flops to that particular occasion. But in a more casual restaurant in Vegas, I would have no problems wearing flip-flops. So I guess it gives, you know, it depends somewhat on the occasion and the theme and the mood of the night. But generally, I would say I'm good with it.
Well, so you're saying it's good, but why do you think some people are not comfortable with other people wearing flip-flops in a restaurant?
I guess it just sort of looks like too casual and too laid back. But again, there's levels of flip-flop too. There's the scruffy, you just got off the beach flip-flop, and then there's
Havaiana.
Exactly. There's a little bit more of a stylish one out there. So I think, look, if it's an environment where it's super hot, you know, most people are wearing some sort of sandal or flip-flop anyway. If you're then like, hey, let's go and have something to eat, I don't see that as egregiously offensive to then turn up in just what you're wearing and go and have a meal. But if someone says, okay, let's go back to the hotel, have a shower, clean up, and then we'll go into a nice restaurant, then I think it's someone probably going to look down and say, oh, you didn't even change your flip-flops? You didn't even put the nice shoes on? So, you know, I think it just there's a bit of a fine line, a bit of a blurred line to the occasion as to whether or not flip-flops are allowed or acceptable. But as I say, I think I'm okay with them in a general sense.
I have to just say, Lee, that I am mildly grossed out that you would wear flip-flops in Vegas, period. Like, out and about in Vegas, like walking the strip in flip-flops, it's ill-advised at best. And then going to a restaurant. I mean, okay, listen, I'm out on this, or I'm saying not good because, you know, when I'm wearing flip-flops, I'm basically barefoot. So if I'm not walking, if I'm standing, one of those flip-flops is getting kicked off for sure. And it's like it's against my calf kind of thing. And as soon as I get to the table, I'm in my bare feet. And
Well,
so you leave the flip-flops on your feet the entire time you're sitting at the table?
He plays around.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, if you look down and someone's like flicked their flip flops off and they're just bare feet, I think that's almost a bit more like, well, this guy's really letting it go right now, isn't he? You know, like, because in that sense, you're not doing that again at a nice. You're like, we're finished at the pool. You want to just grab a quick bite before we go out for the evening. So right. You're sort of transitioning rather than, you know, like, I'll go and shower and come back down and then I'll kick the flip flops off. So. Yeah, that's the sort of context I was alluding to.
Right. Yeah, but the question is to a non-beach restaurant, so this is what we're asking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Vegas is, you know, they're obviously all non-beach. I mean, it's summer, so again, I'm imagining when I'd be wearing flip-flops. I'm not going to be wearing them in winter, so it wouldn't really count then. But summer non-beach destinations. I mean, like I was in Italy last week. I was walking around in flip-flops, and we stopped for an outdoor, an outdoor meal. I'm not rushing back to the room to change shoes.
So. No, but I mean, Italy is one of the most fashionable countries in the world, and you're wearing flip-flops. No, I mean, a sandal would be different. I think Italians are all over maybe a traditional mule or any nice sandal.
Speaking of Italy, what do you think of my shirt? This is Italian linen I wore for you, Matt. Just especially, I mean,
I have to say you're pretty tiny on my screen, but yeah, it looks great. Thank you. Thank you for wearing your best gear to today's show. Do you take care of your feet? Like if you're going to be putting them on display, do you? Because I think maybe there's a double standard. Like I think women, people would be more apt to say that for a woman wearing a sandal to a restaurant. Or a flip-flop to a restaurant would be okay. But I think they tend to take care of their feet better.
Yes,
so.
Yes, I think women are a bit more inclined to paint the toenails and have the toenails looking, trim and nice. I mean, look, I trim my toenails, but not in a sort of like, oh, I must trim them before I'm going out type of way. It's more like, just like, all right, they're getting a bit long, time to give them a clip, you know?
Sure.
So, But yeah, I mean, so I just think overall, again, the non-beach, it's more, you know, again, you're not, it's in a winter or cooler weather, you're probably just not wearing them anyway. So it's more, would you wear them, you know, in a summer climate to a restaurant? And I think it's good. I think it's okay.
Okay, well, I found online an article from 2016 from GQ. So I don't know if the rules of fashion have changed since 2016. But the article is called, Here's Exactly Where You Can and Can't Wear Flip-Flops.
Interesting.
By Justin Fenner. So Lee, it's divided into two parts.
Okay.
First part, places you can wear flip-flops. Just give me a rapid fire if you agree with these.
Okay.
And JD, feel free to chime in too.
Sure.
On a beach.
Yes, obviously. Yes.
Okay. To the pool.
Yes.
Yep.
In the shower.
No, but when I used to play football, Australian football, and after the game, you would shower with like 20 other men who would often urinate in
slow down. Yeah.
Well, they would often urinate in the opposing team showers where you play, or the home team showers. So yes, you would wear flip flops in that sense. In the shower.
And that would be part of their training. They would like.
No, it's
they'd just, be finished running their drills, then go into the locker room and just take a big old whiz on the.
You just.
So you, would you, when you walk in, is there already a layer of, like an inch of water in there? And you're like, why is there the faucets aren't on? Why is there already water?
You know, there's certainly, yes, there's certainly some form of liquid on the ground there, and you just want to avoid. What's that thing you can get on your feet? You know, it's like
fungus, athlete's foot?
Athlete's foot, things like that. So it's sort of to avoid that and to avoid the other gross things that men do in showers. So
okay,
that's
so you're yes on wearing them in the shower.
That one, not at home, no. On the road,
okay, yeah, yes. Okay, this is just where you can, not where you must.
Right.
Okay, yeah. That's the end of the list.
Okay,
that's it.
Yeah. So now it transitions to places you cannot wear flip flops. So just again, rapid fire. Tell me if you
can. I just say that up first.
Yeah.
I'm never ever. No, I don't care how gross the shower is. I will never wear flip-flops while I'm showering. Never.
Oh, that's a real man. That's a real
JD,
man.
I'm going to take you out to Sunbury one day, and we're going to shower after the Lions have a game of football one day, and just see if you hold firm on that stance.
Lee goes in his slides. He's like, JD, there is an inch and a half of piss in this shower. Confirmed. Tested the pH. Still no flip-flops?
Listen, if there's an inch and a half of feces on the ground, what are flip-flops going to do? What is the difference? Like, you might as well wear galoshes, right? Like,
it's a great point. And worry about your feet later.
Exactly.
Washing in the sink.
You're washing your feet, so it's fine.
Okay, so these are places you cannot wear flip-flops. But Again, Lee, you tend to wear flip-flops a lot, so I want to know if you would wear flip-flops to any of these places that GQ magazine says you cannot. Okay, The Office. Why are you pausing? I've seen flip-flops. I've seen you wear flip-flops in a corporate office.
Have you? I mean, because for the most time... for the most part, again, I'm driving to that office, so I'm not driving in... I've never driven flip-flops or something. I just don't feel comfortable driving in them, so I'm always going to put shoes on. And again, if I'm going to an office and I'm going to see, higher-ups, then no, I wouldn't wear them. But, I mean, even the classic factory, I don't wear them. But again, I'm driving to get here, so I guess if I could walk here, I probably would. But
JD, am I wrong? I mean, in the NBA TV days, I remember Lee coming in shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops.
You know, like, it's very clear in my mind, but it might be the Mandela effect, you know, because you've seen him in flip-flops.
The Sandela effect.
The Sandela effect. That's exactly right.
I never wore them, you know, certainly on a day of a show. I mean, if we had to meet there for some other reason, perhaps, but no, I don't think I wore them around the NBA TV studios.
Well, hold on. Okay, what if you're driving to the beach?
No. I'll wear shoes then and change. I don't know. I have this fear of driving with flip flops that, you know, because it's loose at the back.
Totally.
You know, that you're going to, you know, lose it and things like that. So I always drive with shoes on.
Right. But
yeah. No, I just pack the flip flops in the trunk and then switch them out.
Now, this might be gross, but I always just kick my flip flops off if I'm driving.
You drive bare feet.
75% of the time I'm in bare feet.
Wow. Driving.
Like Fred Flintstone?
Fred Flintstone. That's exactly right.
Okay. So, Lee here, let's quickly get these over with. Okay. Outdoor concert.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Indoor concert.
No.
Okay. No. On a date.
Sorry, let me jump in here.
Okay. Here we go.
At a concert, Lee, you're going to wear flip-flops, but you won't. Like,
I'm thinking again of the restrooms,
right,
where they're gross no matter what, indoor, outdoor.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking in an outdoor venue, it's more like, again, if it's a nice, hot, sunny day, I'm not driving there, I'm more comfortable wearing them, so yeah. I probably would.
Fair enough.
But I'm probably like now, that was probably a younger version of myself. Now I'm probably like, I know what to expect in the restroom, so maybe I want a little extra coverage on the foot.
What a big boy. Big boy learned to,
it's
to do
growth.
In the restroom. On a date, did I ask you that?
On a date, okay, first date, no. Subsequent dates, yes, once I'm feeling a little more confident and comfortable with the lady. Like, I'll take Roxana for a date now with flip-flops on, but not the first time I wouldn't have, probably.
Okay, I'm sure she appreciates that. What about at a funeral?
Oh.
Not a Viking funeral.
No, I don't think so. It depends, of course, exactly on who the person is. If it was, you know, if it was my mate Louis, for example, then sure, I don't think he would be offended by it. But, you know, someone who's not a super close friend, probably not.
So the closer the friend, the more likely you are to wear flip-flops?
Well, yeah, I think so. Because
if you wear flip-flops to my funeral, I'll fucking come back and haunt you.
I am definitely now going to wear flip-flops. You're in LA, man. There's no way. If you get buried out there, I'm not wearing shoes out there. It's going to be a nice day. I'm wearing my nicest shirt. I'm wearing a nice pair of shorts. Sunglasses.
I don't live anywhere near the beach. I live miles from the beach. No reason for you to be wearing flip-flops.
It's a hot weather climate, though, so, you know, I'm looking stylish at your funeral.
Okay, a couple more here. Jury duty?
You're probably not allowed to, are you? I mean...
Yeah, that's definitely a rule. Yeah.
That'll get you kicked off jury duty, so maybe...
You can't be a lawyer, you can't be, you know, you can't have committed a crime, and you can't wear flip-flops. And then it says New York City, scratch that, any city. Well, GQ has, and then it says literally anywhere else. So GQ not as high on flip flops as you are.
Yeah.
Is there the poll?
Yes. What do you think?
So what's
the stream team saying?
Is wearing flip flops to a non-beach restaurant, is this good? What are they saying?
They're saying
good.
Not good is leading at 60%. So
So I have to declare that wearing flip flops to a non-beach restaurant is not good.
Yeah,
I mean you're That's 3-1.
Yep, I guess so. I guess that's the people have spoken. So
the people have spoken. Yeah. I'm sorry, Lee. It's not good.
Ah, well,
it's not good.
That's fine.
Change your ways. Do better. Do better. Do the work. Yeah. Do the work and do better.
I guess I have to end this poll before I start a new one, JD. Is that right?
I have no idea. Just try making a new one.
I tried to, but I couldn't. Okay, so now I've ended one. Okay.
Okay, so next topic, iMessage tapback. So I'll quickly explain this. If you don't know, tapbacks are when someone sends you a text message, you click on it, and you can respond with a heart, a thumbs up, thumbs down, a ha-ha, exclamation point, or a question mark. So you basically respond without creating a new line of text. I think I over-explained that. So tapbacks, are they good?
I like them. I like tapbacks.
JD says good.
You know, I was having a drink with our... with our man NASCAR last night, Dan Crosswhite.
Oh, nice.
And we were just reminiscing about the days where there was no phone, there was no texting, there was no phones. I didn't have a phone in my face the whole time. So anything, I like anything that expedites the phone being in front of my face. So, you know, give you a thumbs up, give you a ha-ha. I don't have to type anything. I just tap it back. And that's the end of our interaction. You know what I mean?
Mm.
What would you say to someone that would say, fine, send an emoji, but send it in a new line. Like, go through the trouble of finding the emoji.
Well, I will if like, there's a very limited amount of tap back emojis, right?
Yes, on iMessage there is. There's only like ha ha heart.
I just listed them.
Yeah.
I just listed them in the over explaining part.
Yeah. They need to add the grimace. That's my only complaint about tapbacks.
The awkward one, or
I use that more than anything.
I agree. That's a very popular
one. You need that
one.
But I don't really see what's the drawback?
People find it rude, I think, and people think it's like abrupt, and people think it's like you're ending the conversation. But I'm good too. Yeah, I say that's what's good about it. It's a good way to end a conversation. I mean, I didn't like them at first, but now I'm definitely good. It's a good way to end a conversation, and it's also a good way to organize your thoughts. Like if someone sends you good news, like I just passed the bar exam.
Right.
You can heart that.
Yes.
And then write in the line below, congratulations, so happy for you. Instead of like, you know, having to pollute that line with an emoji.
Yeah. I agree.
So Lee, where are you on this one?
Yeah, I like them because I think it pretty much sums up. You know, you're in agreement, you accept whatever they're sort of saying or whatever. And I just prefer that because sometimes I still find on any sort of message format, whether it's Slack or Twitter or you know, anything, sometimes just tone is difficult to detect. And you're like, oh, is this person like, are they being like cheeky or anything? But they're not, if you know what I mean. So
right.
I think with an emoji, and as you'll know from our last few text messages here, Matt, I hit you with thumbs up pretty much every time just to say, yep, gotcha.
Very passive aggressive.
No, but see, I don't see it's passive. The only thing I don't like is that the love heart, I prefer something else for a like. That's why I go thumbs up, because I'm like, yep, gotcha.
Yeah, that's the
that is it.
And then if you love something, it's the heart.
Yeah, which I'm way more of a thumbs upper than a lover in that sense. So I don't see it. How do you see it as passive aggressive though, Matt? I don't. How do you
you're not putting in any effort?
Yeah, but again, I think it's
you're
more
not
like
responding to me with words or even with a personalized emoji. You're just saying, hey, of these five options, here we go. And there's no new line.
Yeah.
And it's even like, you know, like how people want to avoid double texting.
Yes.
Like if I text you, I don't want to text you back till you've texted me.
Yes.
Who has sent the last, I guess if I'm tapping back to a Lee message, I guess I get credit for writing last, even though I didn't really write anything.
Right.
Yeah. But it's an acknowledgement. And I'm like, okay, we're on the same page. Fine. If he needs more clarification, then he can ask me. Otherwise, I'm good. I'm good. He's good is my interpretation of a tap back. It's like the person understands what I'm saying. Or reverse, I'm like, gotcha.
How do you feel about K? Just people that respond to things with just
JD's
K.
A big K-er.
I'm a big K-er.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people find that passive aggressive.
Oh, man. Everybody must think, no wonder I don't have any friends.
Well, you just went out last night.
I did go out.
Was anyone wearing flip flops last night?
Didn't see anybody. Let me think. There was a woman there with sort of mules, but not flip flops. But that's all I noticed.
What year do you think the tap back was introduced?
Oh, that's a great question.
Probably not that long ago, really, was it? I mean,
like 2019?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 2016. I had no idea that it was around that long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I love for it as well is just sort of going back. Like sometimes I have people who will send me like a flurry of information in separate text, you know, and then it looks like I liked four texts back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'll go back and I acknowledge that I saw that because we're already on to another topic. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm. Honestly, no. But is it important for me to?
I mean, for a tap back, it's that I'm just part of why it's good. It's just
why,
like,
does the tap back help you look backwards? Because it's less cluttered?
Because sometimes I'll get like, oh, have you seen Thor? It's terrible. And then the next thing, and then I didn't see that, or I didn't respond to it, or whatever. And then the next text is, I'll see you there at 4 or something like that, at totally separate. And then I'll just go back and say, yeah, I heard it was bad. So like the
I see what you're saying.
So they don't feel like they're being ignored. But now it sounds like they think I'm being passive aggressive, extra passive aggressive by going back and not even acknowledging.
Last time you got invited to see Thor at 4 p.m.
Exactly.
Lee, what are the people saying? I think they're going to say, oh man, am I going to go 0 for 2 on this? I think they're going to say not good.
You are 0 for 2, Matt. 73% landslide victory for
Wow,
good.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have to agree. I think, again, like I sort of said off the top, I feel sometimes like someone will send you a simple text and you start writing back and you're like, does that sound like I'm you know, being a smart ass or something like that, or I'm not trying to be, I'm just trying to say, yep, great, looking forward to it, see you then. And then it's like, I'm not sure if I can convey everything I'm trying to say in words. Instead, boom, I'll just hit you with a thumbs up so you know that I'm like, I'm in agreement with you, I'm on board with whatever it is you're saying. So I like them. I'm going to continue to use them, and I'm going to give this one a thumbs up because I'm in the 73% range.
All right, so you're saying instead of explaining something with nuance through a series of words that convey feelings and emotions, you just respond with one character, which is a thumbs up. And that's great. Yeah,
but do you know? Do you ever get like a text message, right, that's like just, you know, one of those, a scroller on your page, on your phone? Do you feel you have to respond with a similar amount of information because
question.
It's like someone's put so much effort into their message, and if you just hit them back with a K or a thumbs up, in that sense, yes, you'd be like,
yes,
give me
yes,
a little
that's
bit
aggressive.
More.
Passive aggressive.
Yeah, so in that sense, I mean, how much do you have to go? Halfway, about the same, three quarters?
A third. I'll say a third. Because, okay. You know, we like to mirror each other.
Yeah.
So I think if someone writes you a long message, you have to write back at least a third of the length.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a good rule we just made up.
Okay, and then you notice after that, often it sort of, you know, then they come back with about a third of yours, and so then it sort of shrinks and shrinks, and it always ends with just an emoji anyway of some sign, some sort of tap back. So
it all ends in an emoji. It's thumbs ups all the way down. All right, next topic. Very simple again. No explanation needed. Getting someone's autograph, is this good?
Well, I say it's not good because I feel like you're giving away a little piece of your soul when you're asking somebody. You're actually giving whoever you're asking an autograph from something. You know what I mean? A piece of yourself.
Like an emotional autograph.
Exactly. And they're taking a little piece of your soul.
Because you should be embarrassed to ask for one.
Oh, yes. Yes,
yeah, okay.
You should be.
Okay.
I think I would never, ever. I mean, I know that Lee is, he gets things signed.
Well, so I think it's, I just think it's outdated actually now, an autograph. It's been overtaken by the selfie.
Yeah.
I mean, kids don't go up to, you know, if you see LeBron James, no one's saying, hey, can I have your autograph? They're saying, can I have a selfie?
Right.
It's the same.
It's the same difference.
It's the same difference, yes. And again, I'm fine with kids doing it, but I've been to sporting events, and especially at baseball, for example, where you've got grown men our age, JD, screaming at like
Hey, thanks for not including me in that. I appreciate that.
As a youngster.
I'm a youngster.
Well, you're looking pretty sharp, I will say, Matt.
Thanks, man.
That LA sun is doing wonders for you.
I'm still going to die before you, and you still will be at my funeral. So please buy some penny loafers before then.
I've already got my outfit picked out for your funeral. It's going to be great.
That's an interesting thought. You're going to be coming up to my open casket going, hey, mate, can you see my linen shirt?
I say, I picked this one out just for you.
I picked it out just for you.
If you can do it around November when Elton John's in town so I can go and see Elton John at Dodger Stadium while I'm there, that'd be great.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
No, anyway.
I'll try and work that out for you.
It's got dark.
Anyway, so...
And then Elton John can dedicate Candle in the Wind to me.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. So those men, though, they're not doing it for their own collection. They're doing it so then they can sell stuff on eBay and stuff. But they look freakishly pathetic, screaming at athletes like, you know, sign this, you know, like it's for my kid. No, it's not. You want to try to make money off it. Right. So those are pathetic. As far as asking for a selfie, I don't mind that if it's, you know, if you're comfortable with the person, but it can't be the first thing you say to them. You can't just walk out, hey, can I have a selfie? You've got to have a little interaction. Then it's like, do you mind if we grab a quick selfie? Boom, and you're out. So I'm fine with that. I mean, it doesn't necessarily meet the criteria for an autograph, but I just think that's the modern autograph is the selfie.
I would encourage people to not do that. I think it sours the interaction. It's like, oh my God, LeBron James, I love you. You're my favorite player. It's great to meet you. Handshake and be on your way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's a more authentic exchange. You'll always have that.
Yeah.
And it's about you and that person who you admire.
Yes.
To get a selfie is like,
but that's the thing, JD. I agree with the premise of what you're saying here, but you got to get those likes on social.
No, you don't, man.
Well, people tell a kid these days, like you met LeBron James, and someone's, hey, I met LeBron James. Oh, awesome! Show us the picture. Well, I chose not to take a picture of it.
That's the pinnacle of cool. That is the coolest thing ever.
But you think a 17-year-old kid's going to be like, nah, didn't want that selfie. I just wanted the interaction, the memory.
I think that LeBron James or whoever it is, Elton John, whoever, is going to be like, oh, okay, sure, I'll take a picture of you. Yeah. Like, and then they get self-conscious. It's like, I don't know, how's my hair? Like, you know what I mean? Like you're putting them on the spot. It's just like, it takes it down a notch. An authentic interaction is just brought down a notch.
Yeah. Look, I agree. In the sense of the moment, like, yes, you don't want to be like that tacky and say like, you know what, I don't need a selfie.
Right.
I've just had this moment with you. I just think it's very difficult to sell to anybody because people want that. You know, they want to be able to document it, show their friends, and live off it for a while. So
I guess.
Have you ever been asked for your autograph?
Mine, yeah, a few times, yeah.
People have asked you for your and what did you sign, like, out of curiosity?
I mean, whatever. I've got video of Trey being asked to sign a hot dog in Las Vegas
with mustard.
I'm not sure if it had any condiments on it or not, but he did it happily. You know,
no, I mean, was he signing it with mustard?
No.
He's got the pen to bun.
Yeah.
So where is that hot dog now? Is it kept somewhere?
Maybe. I mean. It's a weird thing. I mean, you see people now, you know, a lot of times, like, sign here, sign there, you know, mark their body. But, of course, it's going to rub off eventually.
Right,
so,
right. Or you get a tattoo. That's what happens sometimes.
Yeah, right. You tattoo that sort of while it's still fresh on your skin there.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we've had fan meetups and stuff like that for, you know, our fans. And people have asked me for a selfie, and I'm happy to do it. But that's the purpose of that event. You know what I mean?
Like,
or when we're hanging out by the set, that's fine, I think.
And that's also never the first thing they say. It's not like, oh, Jetty can offer a selfie. It's first, it's like, hey, I'm Bob from Nebraska. Love the show.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been wanting to get into production. You're talking. And then as they move on, do you mind if I grab a quick selfie? Of course, you're going to say yes.
Yeah. That's different. I'm talking about like in the traditional sense of asking somebody for an autograph where they're having dinner or whatever, and you're already interrupting the, you know, or you're in an airport.
Yeah.
Shout out to one of our friends who really milked a selfie over the last couple of days. But yeah, I mean, there's a time and a place, and I think that if you're asking, the bigger the star, if you're asking for a selfie, is just like, I don't know, it just, or an autograph is just, it cheapens the experience, and I think that you personally will cherish the moment that much more if you don't ask for an autograph. But you know, what do I know?
Yeah,
I'm agreeing with both of you. I'm a not good. I think it is okay if you're a kid, and I'll actually add the caveat that I've become more okay with it if they're signing a thing that is related to them. So it's like, I think it's cool when a baseball player signs a baseball, like, especially like, I don't know if it's a home run he hit or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. signs it.
Right.
But like when someone is like, just see someone's like, oh, can you sign this napkin? Like, what are you doing with that?
Yeah, yeah. I just wonder though, even, I mean, how many kids even do that anyway these days? Because I just don't think kids think about that. Well, an autograph is nothing.
I think it's just, I think it's purely become a business thing now. It's like, you want to sign this headshot or I don't know, this, you, I'm going to get all six friends' signature on this script or something like that.
Yeah.
Apparently, I don't know if this is true or not, but I read that Steve Martin carried business cards in the 80s, because obviously he was so famous, people would often ask him for his autograph. And the card said, oh, let's see what it says. This certifies that you've had a personal encounter with me and that you found me warm, polite, intelligent, and funny. May we all get so famous that we can print business cards like that.
He was ahead of the game, JD. That's exactly what it should be, shouldn't it?
Like totally.
I got the business card. Oh, did you get an autograph? Nah. Selfie? Nah. I got a business card. Oh, that's next level. I mean, that's going for a few bucks on eBay as well.
What are the people in the YouTube poll saying? Okay, let me try to get this one right. Yeah. I think they're saying not good.
Yeah, 64%. In fact, it was up way higher. It was into the 70s there. So maybe we got a few people juicing it toward the end there to bring it down. But I think overall, I mean, again, I agree with what JD's saying in the sense that you don't pounce on someone and hit them straight away with it. At the end of the interaction, if you're feeling good about it, it's fine. But again, I can't imagine a kid in a schoolyard like it was for us saying, look, I got so-and-so's autograph. The kids would be like, who cares, man? Like, show us a photo. You know what I mean? Like, they want to see it. So, you know, but when we were kids, we used to go to like the footy or the cricket. And if you could get your signatures and you'd come back at the end of the day on like the record from the game and it would have five signatures, like that was gold in the 80s.
Oh, really? Why? Yeah. I mean, well, I guess I get it. I remember being in the schoolyard one time and this kid came up to me and said, oh, I met Prince last night. Here's his autograph. And I was like,
wow.
It was just the sign?
it was just literally a squiggle. This was way before the sign. But yeah, I mean, it was just like, oh, wow. You're lying, but probably, but who knows?
Well, and that's the other thing is a signature, an autograph can clearly be like, you can say, well, that's it. I mean, I used to write signatures of NBA players and tell friends that they were the real signatures and they weren't.
Right.
You can't question a photo. But I also think there's a bit of a personal bias with you and Prince there, which may have affected that interaction.
Hey, man. I love Prince. Save Prince for another episode.
All right.
Great point. All right. So far we found out that two things are good, so that you can add those to your list. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we've got some more spicy topics, including a deep dive on Alien Ant Farm.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, you know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike /rentals. OnePeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's the butterfly effect for real.
Welcome back to Is This Good? JD, are the ads that we just heard, are those going to be in the podcast when people listen to them?
Yes. Well, I think so. Yes. That
okay,
one will
good,
be.
Good, yeah. Good. Because it's my first show, and I don't want to have that thing where the host goes, okay, we're taking a break, and then they come right back. You know what I mean? They left a space for a dynamic ad insertion that has not yet occurred. And I won't be embarrassed on my first episode.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen, but that has happened in the past. So it is a dynamic ad. So it is possible that that what you just described is what's going to happen. And if you're listening on the Athletic app, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. Because people have paid extra to not have the ads.
Exactly. And I think that it feels better when you hear, we're going to a break, and then we come right back. It's like, my subscription is so much more worth it now that I don't have to sit
through that. As the listener, I always appreciate when they come right back because I don't have to skip through the ad.
Exactly.
But I always feel bad for them. I'm like, I guess this show isn't that good. They couldn't sell this.
It has been happening a lot on a lot of podcasts, actually.
Yeah, I know. Brands want to work with me, though.
Yeah, well, I know. The phone's been ringing off the hook since we announced this show. So.
Oh, really? The landline?
My landline, yeah. It's
okay, let's get to the fourth topic here. This one has a little backstory, so allow me to explain. Late this June, at Planet Mimi tweeted the music video of Alien Ant Farm's cover of Smooth Criminal with the caption, "Back when life was good." This simple tweet went viral, has over 200,000 likes, and is a great reminder that people love to remember some guys. A conversation ensued online on the merits of being a popular band, but only because of a cover song. And this might be hard to remember, but this band was popular. Smooth Criminal went to 23 on the Billboard Hot 100, and the album went platinum. So I ask you, being a famous band, but only because of a cover song, is this good?
Well, Lee, what do you think?
Well, I will say that cover they did, I thought was actually really good.
I agree.
I liked it because it was completely different from Michael Jackson, which if you're going to do a cover, go all in like that. So that was great. Now, do you want to be famous just because of that? That shouldn't be why you're famous, I don't think. If you want to be a real, you know, musical talent or a band that people want to go and see, you don't want them to go, oh, I liked it when they covered that Michael Jackson song. Let's go and see the whole show.
Right.
So I'm saying it's not good. You need to be more than that because, you know, you've taken someone else's song, a banger, I mean, from Michael Jackson's collection, and you've done great with it. But it's like, okay, but you've got to have your own music. And look, I don't know much about Alien Ant Farm. They did another cover, actually, didn't
you
they?
You don't?
Nah. I mean, I couldn't tell you where they're from, band members, anything like that. But I know that when that song comes on the radio, I'm like, sure, I'll listen to it because it's pretty good. So I'm saying,
well,
not
it's good because it's a Michael Jackson song.
Right.
I mean,
right,
ultimately, I agree with you that it's a good version of a Michael Jackson song, but it's still a cover.
Yes.
And it's good because it's a great song by one of the greatest songwriters ever.
Mm.
But is it, I guess I have a question, Matt. Like, who is it good for? Like, are you asking, like, if you're the band, is it good? Like, is my musical career a success if my one hit is a cover song? That's the question, right? Like,
yeah, I would say that's one way to look at it. I guess another way to look at it would be if you had one hit song only, like in your band.
Yeah.
Stone Soul Picnic, let's say.
Yeah.
To make it real personal. Would you be okay with that? Would you think that was good?
I mean, yeah, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because listen,
yeah, it's good.
Because if your other song, the cover song was a gateway to your band, and if you didn't have any more hits, that's on you, man. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, mm-hmm. But at least you got a little taste of what it was like to have a number one hit song. Is that a number one hit song? Like
23
on the alternative charts.
It went number one.
Not on the Hot 100. Yeah. I think it was 23 on the Billboard.
Which to me, like, that's
but
not
the album
good
sold
enough,
over a million copies.
Right.
But when was that? What year was that?
That would have been.
I should have written
2002 or something like that.
Yeah, early
used to buy that. I mean, look, that's something that our kids will never experience. Like one hit song, bang, I'm buying the whole album. Right. I'm listening to it. Right. Now, if you like a song, you download it or whatever you do, and that's it. You don't have to go through the whole album. So, and that's an experience that I think our kids are lesser for. Right. Because I think that's part of the fun is like, I want to see what else they've got in their on their album. Maybe look, Alien Ant Farm, maybe the rest of the album tanked. Sure, that happens. But at least people were still buying enough to sell over a million. Did you say a million copies they sold of that?
It's platinum. Wow. So it's at least a million copies.
Crazy. Wow, all right. Well,
I can't believe how long this has taken me to find when that was. You think you just put that in? Okay, 2001. 2001.
Yeah, 2001. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, and then by the way, Lee, it was number one in Australia.
It doesn't surprise me. Yeah. It's a sort of a hard rock version of a song. Yeah. Australians would have loved that. No doubt about it.
Hey, you hear this one, Jonesy? It's the song we knew from before, but the guitars are louder.
I mean, where do you stand on someone like Vanilla Ice, who, you know, obviously different lyrics, but he ripped off the music from Queen to make his one hit song.
He claims he didn't. He claims they're different.
That is incredible.
Have you heard that interview,
by
the way?
Incredible.
That's a classic.
He also understands that's his only song, and he's still performs it now at NBA games at halftime. He's still living off the money from that. He's still living off the fame and the acclaim. So he has no problem with it, you know, because technically it's a different... Well, no, lyrically, obviously it's different, but the music is exactly the same. So.
It's a sample of the music. I mean, it's clear. And I think it's possible that Vanilla Ice never realized that. I think it's possible. He just didn't know. Like, a producer just put it in front of him and he did his stupid little rap, and then, you know, but there are so many songs that are like that. I mean, the most recent in my mind is the Robin Thicke, Marvin Gaye thing, right? Like, which is clearly Marvin Gaye. And I, like, people were, well, I mean, young people didn't know, but I was like, wow, this is obviously that Marvin Gaye song, which I can't think of off the top.
I know.
Gotta
give it up.
Gotta give it up. That's it. But yeah, I mean, there's a million, like,
Puff Daddy's big one.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but it's
different.
It's more like that Sam Smith song, Stay With Me, which is just I Won't Back Down. And like, I think he ended up paying Tom Petty for that. Here's some songs, or here's some bands that are known only for a cover. And I think maybe what separates it is, is your cover so good that it becomes the definitive version of the song?
Right.
I think that's a good obviously point. makes it better. Yeah. So like, for instance, Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You. Yeah,
right.
Did cover, not know that.
What's that?
I cover did not know Prince that song? Was a cover, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Prince.
Well, Prince wrote it, but it wasn't actually a Prince song, though, right? It was...
Oh, he did record it, but I guess not till after?
But he gave... It was released with another band on his label or something.
Yeah.
I don't even know the name of the band, but go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So anyways, I don't think, for instance, for Sinead O'Connor, good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very good. UB40, Red Red Wine.
Yep.
And then their other hit was an Elvis cover, Can't Help Falling in Love With You.
Oh, yeah. They did a
Do you
terrible
think
version.
Joe Cocker's Little Help From My Friends is the definitive version of the Beatles
song? I actually do. It's definitely better than the Beatles version. That might be
100%.
Sacrilegious to say, but...
No, I think you're right.
But you think the Wonder Years influenced that as well?
No, I don't.
I do. I do, because that's just where I think.
I mean, I think that it increased its popularity, but it was as the day it came out, it was better. I mean, I think Woodstock really put it on the map, but yeah.
What's What's Woodstock?
What Woodstock?
Is that was that as big as the Wonder Years? No, but I agree. I think the Wonder Years helped because it kept it in the public consciousness. Did you know? Okay, I don't know if this is just like a lie that someone edited into Wikipedia. You know, in Smooth Criminal, when it's like, Annie, are you okay? Do you know what that is a reference to?
Oh, I did.
Okay, well, I'll tell you. You tell me if this is the same version or if Wikipedia is playing a trick on me. Apparently, it's inspired by a Rescue Annie, which is a dummy used in CPR training. Does that sound like a lie? Like, you know, like the name of that doll?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Then I just lied to you. Well, I just repeated
it's
a
Wiki.
Lie,
it's
which
Wikipedia.
I guess
it's
is just as bad.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm saying good. JD's saying good. Lee's saying not good.
I'm saying not good, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and the people are saying?
They agree with the big E here. We got 66% saying not good.
Wow, haters.
Not good, yeah.
But if it was so, people, I think people are acting like, well, like, first of all, if it's so easy to just take a hit song, re-record it and have it go number one and sell a million copies of the album on which that song's on, then everyone would do it.
Yeah.
So it's not, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, look, for example, Sinead O'Connor, I don't think generally most people would know that's a cover. I don't think. I think people just think that was her one hit wonder.
Right.
Because I don't think it's common like that. But
well, would you be okay with being a one hit wonder, Lee? Would you say if I said being a one hit wonder, good? Or not?
Well, I mean, would I get to perform at Wembley just one time, living off that that one hit wonder? Yeah,
yes,
yeah, of course, yes. Of course.
If it was like "Come On, Eileen" or something,
Dexy's "Midnight Runners," yeah,
that's Dexy's, yeah.
Original. It was original, that one.
Yeah,
yeah. I just remembered that "Tainted Love" is a cover.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a Gloria Jones. It's like a Motown song.
Yeah.
Motown
yeah.
song. I didn't hear till much later, and it's great.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I would say Soft Cell has the definitive version.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And then Rihanna used that in her first real hit. What was that one she released? You know, it's like SOS. That was the music of Tainted Love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Does Jeff Buckley have the definitive Hallelujah?
That's
a tough one. Okay, let's get to our final topic here. Another simple one. Throwing deuces in photos. Is this good? And I guess if you don't know what that means, that's doing this. Throwing up the peace sign in a photo.
Well, if you do it this way in Europe or Britain, I mean, this is like the finger, right?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely, yeah.
And for the people listening, I've got the back
reversed.
Of my hand towards the camera as though I was giving the finger, but it's two fingers up. I'm for peace, so I guess it's good. The peace sign. I like the peace sign. I do that a lot, not in photos, but just when I'm walking in my neighborhood to neighbors. I always throw the peace sign up. I don't know why. Like,
I have a theory. If you notice when someone takes a photo, often the thing that stands out is what they're doing with their hands or arms. And it's like, you just don't know what to do with them sometimes.
Right.
So sometimes you just need to do like, you know, something just so it doesn't look like you're just standing there like you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to be. Arm around the person. You know, are we hugging? Are we in close? Are we intimate? Or are we just like, this is great fun. So you sort of almost need to do it just to animate the photo a little bit. Because you see people on their photos and they're standing in front of something and you're just like, I can't see what they're seeing, what the photo is supposed to be about, because I'm just looking at how weird and awkward their arms look because they're just hanging there. So I'm good with it. I'm good with some sort of
a gesture, some sort of something to do with the hands.
Right. Yes,
I agree. That's why I think it's good too. I mean, I used to think it was dumb and cheesy growing up, but then as I get older, I realize I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah.
And Lee, as someone that's been on TV, that's like the number one complaint about people that are on TV. They're like, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah.
So I hold them like this.
Oh,
hold
exactly.
Like
yeah.
Oh, the dreaded vagina hands.
The dreaded vagina hands. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Here's some tips I found online. People that do this well, they say you're supposed to touch your face with any of your fingers or spread them on the side of your eyes. Like that.
Really?
So that's...
So the David Brent?
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking that when he does the... they need a photo for the paper, and he does... he's on the bench, and yeah. He's doing this sort of stuff. Like, yeah.
Well, Lee, you're someone that has a lot of, like, a backlog of photos. So do you think it would, like... If you're looking back and in every photo you're doing this, do you think it would ruin it or date it or...
No, because I think I've got a collection of photos of me just standing there with my arms dangling, and that's, again, what people notice. They're like, oh, what do I do with my arms here at the...
do people notice it, though? I mean, well, like...
Yeah.
I think... You might be self-conscious about
it. Well, maybe, but I notice it as well on other people. Like, you know, I've seen friends standing in front of like some historic monument, and I'm like, I'm just looking because they're like, they just don't know what to do. Put their hands in their pockets. You don't want to sort of cross your arms like that. That looks a little passive aggressive right. That way. So,
what about the behold gesture? Are you fine with that? It's the Colosseum.
Well, see, so interesting you say the Colosseum because I was just there, and the amount of people I know
in sandals, just like a gladiator,
and the amount of people who, you know, again, like it's this Colosseum, thousands of years old, and they're like, you know, oh, trying to sexy it up. I'm just like, man, that's that needs a little more respect, the Colosseum, than that, you know. But
you respect the place where men fought to the death. Yeah.
I just, you know, the Instagramification of everything is that now, where it's just hilarious. Like, I saw these two guys in the swimming pool taking photos for each other, and the guy was doing it in the slow-mo coming out of the water as if he was like, you know, some sort of model like this. I'm like, you're in a hotel swimming pool, man. Like, it's the swimming pool. Who cares? Just get out. But you don't need to slow-mo it either.
How do you know they were slow-mo?
No, I could hear them. I could hear them. He put in slow-mo, and then he's doing his hair and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Kids today, eh?
This guy was 30 easily, I'm telling you.
You asked him, you can just tell.
And then him and his bro, they switched it around as well, and he spent half an hour in the pool minimum, not swimming or splashing, having fun, just taking photos. And I'm like,
hold on, he's a 30-year-old man and you want him to be splashing?
I want you to go enjoy the pool first, and then if you want a photo, sure, but not like he was sitting on the lounger, he was doing the coming out of the water, he was walking along the edge, and I'm like, this is not the Caribbean, man. This is not like a beautiful, like, you know, one of the world's beautiful beaches. It's a hotel swimming pool. You couldn't tell where you are. You could be any place on earth, and you're doing all this for the swimming pool. Like, just enjoy the water, man. He didn't enjoy it. Then they packed up and they went back to the hotel room. And I'm like, all right, that's crazy. I mean,
what a sad trip. What do the people say about that? Are they pro deuces? Do they think throwing deuces in photos is good?
Well, wait, what do you think the poll is on this one?
I think they're going to say yes, it's good.
Yeah, it's pretty close though. It's 59% are saying good. So, yeah, I think people are the same. You kind of got to do something in your photo to not want the photo to not be noticed that you're like doing something completely dorky or you know, weird with your arms or your legs. So, yeah. I think most people... Well, actually, I thought it would be a little bit higher, to be honest, but...
Forgive my ignorance here, and I guess I should have asked this off the top, but it doesn't mean anything other than... Does it mean peace, or when it's in a photo, like when kids do it and they do this sort of thing?
I did look it up. There's like 10 different explanations as to where it came from. Okay. I mean, I'll read you one. Like, Konica, the Japanese camera company, in 1972, they had a TV commercial that had a pop singer named Jun Inu in it. And he was popular for making the V sign on stage, and in the commercial he does it, and then apparently people say that's when it went mainstream. But then I read five other explanations. So this could be like an Annie, are you okay? Where I'm just being lied to. I'm just being played for a goddamn sucker. Let's just do a quick review of today, so you can know what's good going forward in your life.
Yeah.
Flip flops to an on-beach restaurant, not good. Getting someone tapbacks good.
Mm-hmm.
Getting someone's autograph, not good.
Yeah.
Being in a famous band because of a cover song, good.
Right.
Throwing deuces, good. We're very positive.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Very positive.
Now, what are we doing with this information? Right? Are we putting it somewhere, like as a reference? Like, should we start a Wikipedia page or something? Like some sort of reference guide for people moving forward.
Well, I think it's an each one teach one scenario. So it's like, I think you guys now go home, Lee, you tell Sebastian and Oscar, here's these things are good to do in life. these things are not good.
Yeah.
JD, you tell your kids.
Oh, yeah.
And then one day they will tell their kids.
I love it.
When they're at your funeral wearing flip-flops, they will say. One thing about my dad is he always knew what was good from that podcast he was on. Is this good?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right. Before we end, we're going to go to our final segment. Subjective trivia. Ooh. Subjective trivia is just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. So there's a bit of a backstory for today's question. If you listen to No Dunks regularly, you'll know that all of us were in Las Vegas a few weeks ago hanging out. And you'll also know that we did karaoke. And you might have also heard the story where we got caught in the Take It Easy loop, which was basically that the song Take It Easy by the Eagles would start. We'd hear the chiming guitars. We'd hear the I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. We'd hear the chorus, and in the chorus, it would start again.
Right.
So we were only hearing about, like, you know, a minute of the song.
And we were into it every time.
Mm-hmm. And we start singing it again. And the more it repeated, the more we got into
That's
it.
Right.
The more gusto we said we're trying to loosen our loads. So, Lee, because I knew you were going to be on, and you are one of the world's foremost Billy Joel scholars.
Yes.
Yes, is that accurate?
Yes. I mean, I love Billy. I absolutely love
Billy. Yeah. You've seen him in concert.
I've seen him a couple of times, yeah. And in fact, he's playing at Madison Square Garden again. I think he said he's going to keep playing as long as they keep selling out, and he's up to like 75 shows or something like that. So I definitely want to get to a Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden at one time in my life.
Okay, great. So I think you're perfectly equipped to answer this question, although JD is as well. So keeping in mind the Take It Easy glitch, today's subjective trivia question is, what is the best Billy Joel song to sing at karaoke when the beginning of the track keeps starting over? Okay? Even I was surprised at the answer, and I have it written down on this cue card, so it's not cheating.
Talk it out. Look, he's a couple of bangers. I mean, look, I know JD's not going to want We Didn't Start the Fire, which is fine. I don't think it has to be that one. Mm-hmm. I think Piano Man has got to be in the conversation because it's...
Well, there's an answer, though.
Yeah. It's still rock and roll to me. I think maybe that, you know. What's the matter? You know.
Again, this is your opinion, right, Matt? This is
correct,
totally subjective. This is what you believe.
Yes. I mean, I think it is the answer. I was surprised that it's the answer, but I gave it a lot of thought. And I want you to keep in mind especially a few things with Take It Easy, what made it successful as a glitch song. Upbeat.
Yes.
And then from the intro to the verse to the chorus, very fast.
Yes.
So you're getting a full flavor of the song before it repeats.
Yeah, and it's easy to know the words too. That's the other thing I think is important. Everyone knew the words without necessarily having to read.
Okay.
Yeah
great point too. So then I took all that into account. So for instance, like The Stranger, which is a great Billy Joel song.
Right.
It starts with just that piano, like, and the do. So like, what, you wouldn't get anywhere, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of that repeating? You would just be hearing the intro. So keep all these things in mind.
Okay, so do we each get a chance to answer this?
I mean, just say things.
Just say things?
Okay. Yeah. I'll tell you if you're right or not.
All right. Do you have one?
I think it's that, or it might even be Uptown Girl, because that's got a great start to it as well.
Okay. JD?
Yeah.
It's My Life.
Oh, I don't care what you say anymore. That's fine. Actually, I have to say, Lee is correct. The answer is Uptown Girl.
Yeah.
And now, is it? It's not the best Billy Joel song.
No, it's not. It's a great one to sing, though. It is a really good fun song to sing.
Does it come in right away with
that's what town, that's what it goes. No, it starts with the whoa-ohs.
Yeah.
But that gets the people moving in a karaoke.
That's what
bar.
I'm saying. Yeah, it'd be fun. Yeah. It'd be fun to do that. And every time you could sort of change the way you're singing the whoa-ohs. And then what's the first thing? Is the chorus.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
verse.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that it just, if you just repeated the whoa-oh intro into the chorus and then it restarted again, I think that you'd be totally fine.
Yeah, because Piano Man, he goes into the harmonica almost off the top from the piano intro, doesn't he? So that takes a little bit of like that swing.
And the verses are really long.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, but they're
and
fun.
It takes a while to get to the la di di da.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in a good karaoke room and it is a great drinking song.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's got
what
is that?
Yeah, the sway. You got the big
the 1-2-3-1-2 the waltzy type thing. And and there is a big wank. Of the piano wank off the top, like of him just showing off, then harmonica.
It's 9 o'clock on us. Yeah, it's a good song. It's at the Madison in Toronto, late into night. That's an absolute crack at a scene. So, but Billy's got some bangers. I mean, he's marvelous entertainer.
Now you guys know, not only do you know what's good, you know that if you are at a karaoke place and you have to play a Billy Joel song and it has to keep repeating, Uptown Girl is the way to go. Do you guys have anything to promote before we go?
Yeah. Do we? What do we do this week, Lee? We did Poppin' Packs with Kelly Dwyer earlier this week. That's in the YouTube feed or the podcast feed. Yep. We also did Tassie had Jason Stark from The Athletic on No Bunts. Which was great. They were talking about the trade deadline. What else do we do?
We had Graydon yesterday. The guys from the Red Flags podcast on to break down the Hungarian GP. That was great.
Yep. That's on a separate feed, the No Breaks feed.
Yep.
And that was it. And this is the last show we're doing this week.
And I'm so disappointed that Kevin Durant or Donovan Mitchell didn't get traded this week. So it would have just been me and JD in here to talk about it. That's what I was really hoping for. But unfortunately, no movement there. Not even rumors. Not even any, they're close to a deal or anything like that. So we've still got one day, though.
It's still tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's the weekend, too.
Yeah, that's right, actually.
The weekend shift, the late shift.
Yeah. So I just hope that it happens for that reason. Maybe you could even come in too, Matt, and talk a little hoops.
I'll be there. So just a reminder, if you have topics you want to hear us talk about on the next show, you could tweet me at StartersMatt or email us isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me on the inaugural ride, guys.
That was fun.
Thanks to everyone for listening. And I would say this was good.
Well, let's see what the people say. I should have put a poll up. Was this show good?
Good?
It was definitely fun. I had fun.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, that's all that matters.
Exactly. I forgot to ask you, are we doing Clipper Bros? We don't have to.
Sure. I mean, you got them at your fingertips?
More or less, yeah.
Okay, you want me to stall?
No, you just have to say Clipper Bros.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Clipper Bros?
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up.
I lied.
Guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. And remember, I was running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind. Four that want to hold me, two that want to stall me, one that she's...